Translation. Lord Chaitanya excused them all, and they merged into the ocean of devotional service. For no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an ideal acharya. An acharya is an ideal teacher who knows the purpose of the revealed scriptures, behaves exactly according to their injunctions, and teaches his students to adopt these principles also. As an ideal acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu devised ways to capture all kinds of atheists and materialists. Every acharya has a specific means for propagating his spiritual movement with the aim of bringing men to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the method of one acharya may be different from that of another, but the ultimate goal is never neglected. Sri Rupa Goswami recommends Tasmat Kenepi Upayena Mana Krishna Niveshiyat Sarva Vidhi Nishedashur Etyor Evakinkaraha. An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. First, they should become Krishna conscious, and all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. In our Krishna conscious movement, we follow this policy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. Therefore, although I am a sannyasi, this is very nice when Prabhupada speaks in this way, in the purports, he says, therefore, although I am a sannyasi, I sometimes take part in getting boys and girls married. Although, in the history of sannyas, no sannyasi has personally taken part in marrying his disciples. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Se Garave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So very wonderful purport with many items within it. Specifically Prabhupada speaking about the etiquette of acharyas and what they do so that they can introduce Krishna consciousness, and how each of the acharyas differed in how they want to do it according to time, place and circumstance. So today I thought we'd look at some of the acharyas, specifically Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, and what they did to bring about the revolution of Krishna consciousness. And of course we're looking at Prabhupada's own contribution, which he mentions here in his purport as well, that never before sannyasis would ever conduct the marriage ceremony. But he did specifically, very much so as we recall in 69 Mukunda and Janaki, he specifically wanted them to live together. He said they were living together, but he said they need to be married officially. So he performed the actual marriage as well. Very famous with Jamuna cooking and everything else. Of course, he did quite a few, but at the end, he wouldn't do any more. As well, he stopped later on because he said that although I'm marrying them, they're not staying together. So he stopped performing these ceremonies and being there. But it was something very much that he did. And sannyasis generally, if we look at the history, one of the things they never do, which very much was there in Bhaktisiddhanta's time, was that they never cross water. You know, they'll never leave India or something like that and cross the water and go on to another place as such. So very much here we find that this was something that was greatly done in our line, specifically from Bhaktisiddhanta. To the extent one of the Sankaracharyas, he personally, in order to do this, he also crossed water. But he was rejected by the rest of the Sankaracharya Sampradaya. They rejected him. Although he wanted to do this, he was actually officially taken out. And also in Madhva line, it's not allowed that a sannyasi can actually cross water. So one of them did, and he was again rejected by the Math. Again, this is a great line which is coming, but they don't accept certain things. So Prabhupada very much puts the emphasis on what is really needed, and each acharya will do something accordingly. Prabhupada mentions there in the purport that he simply asked them all to chant first. He didn't tell them, you follow the four regulative principles. He didn't give them the full story. He said, you just chant and be happy. In the early days. So people thought that's all you do. And after the first initiation, the next morning when they got up, Prabhupada had stuck up on the wall all the rules now what you have to do. So they were, this is what we have to do now. And they're quite surprised. In 68, 69, they thought, wow. So Prabhupada states that in his purport, that this is generally what we do, and we do that, isn't it? We tell people, just chant Hare Krishna, it's very simple. That's all you have to do. And we as the verse mentioned in the purport by Rupa Goswami, that to remember Krishna and never forget him is the one rule which is above all other rules and regulations. And Prabhupada, looking at that, he very much wanted that in the early days even. Even in the early days, Prabhupada very much, only had men in the ashram when he came. His point was that the traditional system was that ladies never lived in the ashram. So it was only the men. But then ladies were also coming and they wanted to live in the ashram. So again, as the acharya, he changed the principle, as he mentions in the purport, to facilitate the preaching. And then ladies never got initiated. So he made a exception again. And then, I forget who it was, but he gave Brahmin initiation to... Okay. And then they were saying, what about us, Prabhupada, with ladies? So Prabhupada again made an exception. Now he's an acharya, he can do these things. So he, in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta, all of these things he very much did. What to speak of weddings after that. So he went the full length of all the different items, because he realized in the West, as he mentioned in the purport, that men and women are very different as compared to traditional India. Even later on, even how an acharya behaves very differently. Once Prabhupada was giving his lecture, and it was one of those places which had a similar mic to the manners mic. You know, it always keeps dropping. Doesn't matter what you do, somehow they always keep dropping. So Prabhupada, who was in a lecture hall, when he was giving, he asked I forget who it was, but he asked him, he said, do you have your Brahman thread? And the devotee thought, wow, something mystical is about to happen. And he said, yes, and he showed to Prabhupada, I have it. So he said to him, take it off. So he thought, oh, something now will happen. There's a ceremony to happen or something. So the devotee obviously took off his chadar and he took off the thread, because you never take off your Brahman thread. You always have another one, and then you take one off. So Prabhupada then took that Brahman thread and he tied a knot so the stand would stay in place. So, of course, these are not things to be repeated. We don't imitate the Acharya. But to what extent he was going to for the preaching movement? He had a different concept altogether. And yesterday we had so many memories and remembrances of Prabhupada when our first QC, who was fighting for us and the campaign in the 80s, his name was Sir Graham Eyre, he passed away. Very noble gentleman. I remember he pulled up in his Rolls Royce outside the kitchen. And he had a huge cigar. And he asked me, he said, I'm looking for Mr. Fleming, Secundity. And I said, okay, I said, you're not allowed to smoke one of those. So he obviously was a gentleman. He came up, and anyway, he met all of us, and he met Sri Ram Swami, and we gave him, he said, first I've got to know what you all believe in. So we gave him the volumes of Satsarup Maharaj's Life of Prabhupada, the Leelamrita. So he and the philosophy, so he took a Bhagavatam set and everything. And he came back a few days later, he's read them all. They're all speed readers. They're very speed, they can grasp it very quickly. And then when we were showing him around, Sri Ram Swami said, this is Prabhupada's room, and this is quite amazing, and you know, at the age of 70, he achieved so much. And the QC, he said, I know he achieved tremendous amounts. And Sri Ram Swami said to him, yes, he achieved tremendous things. And the QC said, you don't know. And Sri Ram Swami said, no, I know. I know what he achieved. I met him and he said, you don't know. And Sri Ram Swami, what do you mean I don't know? He said, because you don't know what it means to begin a movement at the age of 70. You're only, whatever he was, I think 30 or 40 something. He said, I'm 70. So I can speak this. I know what it means. He said, you don't know. So this was the greatness of Prabhupada. Greatness of Prabhupada. As seen by others, not by us. Others testifying, because who else can speak here? Anyone 70 here? We're getting there, some of us. You're 70, there you are. So imagine starting a whole movement at 70. Forget about coming to the Damodar Ashtakam or something, you know? And temples exist and everything exists. You have to go to America on your own. And there's no one to meet you, you know? And there's no temples. There's no breakfast after class, you know? Nothing. Nothing exists. So imagine, this is the greatness of someone who could do that. But in essence, obviously, Prabhupada used to always say, chant and be happy. But you know, all of us over the years, we've noticed that it's not quite that. There's a little word in the middle you have to add. Chant, struggle and be happy. There is a struggle, whether it's in our chanting, whether it's in our devotion, whether it's in our work, whether it's in our family. There is a struggle. But while struggling, we can still be happy. So I think that's the principle that Prabhupada is speaking about very much. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta very much were fighting this principle, as mentioned in the purport, that the British had set up. Here's a statement from Makulay, he writes the following, that he could not find one Orientalist who could deny that a single shelf of a good European library was worth more, was worth the whole native literature of India and Arabia. He went on to make the outrageous assertion that all the historical information which has been collected from all the books written in the Sanskrit language is less valuable than what may be found in the most paltry abridgments used in the prep schools in England. So this was what Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had heard that the British had put out as the propaganda throughout India, that all your books are not worth the primary school books in our country. So the life of an acharya is something which is not easy to understand when you read them. Of course, we have Rupa Vilas, who's written both on Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta very nicely. He's written in Madhya Leela 23:39, interesting verses mentioned. And I'll just read this one to you. Yandra chite Krishna prema kriya udoy tanra vakya kriya mudra vigena na bujaya. Very famous verse. That even the most learned man cannot understand the words, activities and symptoms of a person situated in love of Godhead. What did Prabhupada say? He once said that when a Paramahamsa comes to this material world, people take him to be an ordinary man. Of course, he was very humble. He was really speaking about himself. That when a Paramahamsa comes to this world, people take him to be an ordinary man, ordinary chemist, ordinary person trying to do something, a grihastha, sannyasi. People take him to be an ordinary person. So this verse is speaking very differently. And in the purport which is given, there's a nice explanation of it. And Lord Chaitanya describes the glories of Mukunda, who was the royal physician to the Mohammedan king. And he also confirmed this point, that when the Mohammedan king was sitting on the platform giving audience to many people, Mukunda was sitting next to him. But because the sun was shining very heavily, the Mohammedan king's servant brought a huge peacock fan and placed it over the head of the king. And when Mukunda looked over at the peacock fan, just by looking at the peacock fan, although he was the physician to the king, a very worldly man in that way, when he saw it, he fell into great ecstasy. And he fell off the platform. Upon seeing that, he had memories of Krishna and he fell off. And the king immediately said, "What's happened?" Pull him up. And he asked him, "What happened to you?" And Mukunda said, I suffer now and then from epilepsy. So I get these fits. But the king was a very learned man, and he didn't believe him, and he saw through that Mukunda's real glories were beyond what he could see. So Prabhupada stating in that way, that when a Paramahamsa comes to this world, we take him to be an ordinary person. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared as follows, Bhairaja Vaidya Inho Kari Raja Seva Antara Krishna Prem Inhara Jani Beke Kibi. Mukunda Das externally appears to be a royal physician engaged in government service, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others were. But internally, he has a deep love for Krishna. Who can understand his love? In the purport, Prabhupada says the following. Unless Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discloses the fact, no one can understand who is actually a great devotee of the Lord engaged in his service. It is therefore said in Chaitanya Charitamrita 23:39, verse we just quoted, Tandravakya Kriya Mudra Vigyena, that even the most perfect and learned scholar cannot understand a Vaishnava's activity. A Vaishnava may be engaged in government service or in a professional business, so externally one cannot understand his position. Internally, however, he may be a Nityasiddha Vaishnava, that is, an externally liberated Vaishnava. Externally, Mukunda Das was a royal physician, but internally he was the most liberated Paramahamsa devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this very well, but ordinary men could not understand it, for the activities and plans of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by ordinary men. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives understand everything about a devotee, even though the devotee may externally pretend to be an ordinary householder and professional businessman. Madhya, that's 23:39. Very wonderful purport. Very wonderful purport. Sometimes we may judge things. Specifically, the purport is about that. The Acharya, he may seem very ordinary. He was just the judge, High Court judge. I mean, people were thinking of that. But here, Prabhupada is speaking about the fact that he may pretend to be an ordinary householder or a professional businessman. Prabhupada was working with Dr. Bose in Little Maharishi. So Acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I thought we'd quickly look at those, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his life, Bhaktisiddhanta, and what they did as Acharyas to try to propagate Krishna consciousness in different ways. Shushir Kumar Ghosh, who was the editor of the Amrita Patrika Bazaar. The Amrita Bazaar Patrika was a paper, and he was a friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So in a letter that he wrote to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote as follows. I have not yet seen the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, but I consider you to be the 7th Goswami. That's where the term comes from, 7th Goswami. It's from Sushir Kumar Ghosh. He coined that in writing to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Another Acharya writes very well about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's in Rupa Vilas's book, Bhakti Kusum Shravan Maharaj from the Gaudiya Mission. He writes that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 3 areas of achievements in accordance with the purport today. I'm trying to tie it in somewhere. And he says, first, his books and writings in various languages dealing with the science of Krishna consciousness as found in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and revealed scriptures. Secondly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's achievements, the discovery of the Lord's actual birthplace, because as you know, no one knew his birthplace. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who finally found it. So this was a great contribution the Acharya made. And finally, in today's purport, we read about this, so this is in keeping with the purport. The innovations he introduced for the purpose of preaching the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and 6 Goswamis throughout the world. That's from Bhakti Kusum Swami. He says, the innovations that Bhaktivinoda Thakur he introduced for the preaching mission. Because these innovations really didn't exist at that time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he wrote in the introduction to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jaiva Dharma, he writes as follows. That he says that the Thakur, he displayed all the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. But he says, most directly was perceived his eagerness to remain always fixed in the devotional service of the Lord without wasting a single moment. Of all the items, the 26 items, Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is the most noticeable in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That he was so fixed in the devotional service, but without wasting a single moment. That's a great thing to be doing. You know, we normally are, after the class or something, we usually want to shoot the breeze for a little bit, you know. Or what it is, you know, after a day on books or after a day's work, we want to shoot the breeze for a bit. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur wouldn't waste a single moment. Amazing. Amazing, isn't it? Even the thought of that in our minds is too much, you know. Can you imagine that, you know? Not to be allowed to shoot the breeze, you know. We think, oh, Prabhu, I've got to relax. You know, it doesn't even enter our mind, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not to waste a single moment. What did they say in management signs nowadays? He said, none of us are planning to fail in our spiritual lives, in our work, in our marriage. None of us are planning to fail, but we're failing to plan. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had his day planned, really planned. So no one is planning to fail, but we're failing to plan. If you look at his schedule daily, it's quite amazing, as you know. You know, he was asleep at 8, he was up at 10, and then from 10 till 4 in the morning he was writing. And then from 4 till 6 he would have his japa, and then he would take a little breakfast, then he would take his bath a little later on. Then he would dictate letters to his secretaries, he would get ready, he would take breakfast. He would meet, I think, for about 20 minutes with his family and children every day. That was it. It was like a scheduled thing. Very scheduled thing. And then he would, by 7 o'clock or 7:30, the carriage would come and he would be off to court. Come back for lunch. What was there was Lalit Prasad Thakur. He writes about, in his diaries, about his father. So he writes this very amazingly, that, you know, and then he would come back in the evening again, he would pace up and down, he would have different arguments in his head. So, you know, so this point of not wasting a single moment is an interesting concept, which is there in his schedule. Another person, the Calcutta High Court Judge, Sharad Charan Mitra, this is all Rupa Vilas, who was a friend of the Thakur, and he helped him get old manuscripts as well in 1916. And in the introduction, a book which he wrote, which was a glimpse into the life of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, so he wrote this book. So he writes as follows. I knew Thakur Bhaktivinoda intimately as a friend and relation. Even under pressure of official work as a magistrate in charge of heavy subdivision, he could find time for devotional contemplation and work. And whenever I met him, our talk would turn in a few moments to the subject of bhakti and dvaitavad and the saintly work that lay before him. Service of God is the only thing he longed for, and service under government, however honorable, was for him a clog. Interesting, again, a perception that although he was the High Court magistrate, he was yearning always, but he was so efficient that he wasn't, in his duties, he wasn't neglectful. And the British noticed that, isn't it? They noticed. He wasn't neglectful, but his... So externally he was there, but internally he was thinking of all of these things all the time. Very much like Prabhupada. Although he was in the pharmacy, although he was doing business, he was always thinking, how can we do something for the upliftment of humanity and Krishna consciousness? So these are the thoughts that he used to have, even as a magistrate or a solicitor or whatever you may have, you know, thoughts to contemplate on. So, you know, looking at the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we may think that we have difficulties in our service to the Lord. Isn't it? All of us, we always have difficulties in our service to the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes very nicely in this. Which one of us doesn't experience difficulties? Let's put it that way. We all have some difficulties, whatever the service is. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes that the inconveniences experienced in the service of Krishna is the most valuable and precious item in creation. And this is prema. It's another way of looking at it, you know. What a great soul. So next time you have difficulties in anything, just meditate on that, what he's saying. The inconveniences you experience in the service of Krishna. You know, it's the most valuable and precious gem. Very different ways to look at it. Even Haridas Thakur and Kolavich Sridhar, they said something very similar when they said the inconveniences we experience to Mahaprabhu, they were saying, in your service is our ecstasy. You know, but for us, one inconvenience, and we could think, my God, why are there no fireworks tonight? Who's done this? You know, isn't it? So here is a different realm of thinking, you know. Different way to look at something. We can also look into, as the purport says, the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as well. And you know, his was, again, according relaying to the purport, how an acharya does things. According to time, place and circumstance, what he sees. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, he introduced the dress of a sannyasi. It was very different at that time. He reintroduced the danda, which had gone. So these were things that he did. Very much introduced the fact of there would be a printing press opposite the deities. Now, can you imagine that? If we, you know, he very, very amazing things that he thought of. How he used cars, he used motorcycles, variety of things. What was it when he had a? He drove into Radhakund with a Rolls Royce, and when all the Babajis they saw him. They said, who is this madman? And of course there was a big difference between the Babaji's of opinion between him and Bhaktisiddhanta. And he said, I have come to teach you real renunciation. So of course this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He could do these things. He was all dressed in a coat and, you know, there was a chauffeur and all these things were there. Srila Prabhupada, in speaking of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, says three things that he achieved as well. He says, the powerful preaching against casteisms and sahajas. This was the first contribution of Bhaktisiddhanta, which was immense, as you know. The second contribution was his constant axe blow against the impersonalists and voidists. You know, he was very much feared by them. When the Mayavadis would see him walking on the same side as him, they would cross the road to avoid him. Because they didn't want to have an argument with him. A little bit like, you know, general public will avoid us when they see the Harinam, they'll go on the other side, isn't it? So the Mayavadis thought, oh my God, here comes Bhaktisiddhanta, we better go. And the story was there, of course, the mango. Isn't it? He made the Mayavadi in the train eat a mango, one mango, and he made them eat all the mangoes, because everything is one, so one mango and all the mangoes, it's all one. So the man was so sick at the end, he admitted that there is difference. It's not all one. It's not all one. Or as Guru Das, when he was at the Kumbh Mela, I think he was speaking, and I think all the leaders of the Kumbh Mela came to complain to Prabhupada. He said, your disciples, he said, they are speaking very bad language. So Prabhupada, he asked Guru Das, what did you say? He said, they were speaking all this Mayavad thoughts, Prabhupada, that everything is one. So he said, when I spoke, I said, so you are saying Rasgulla is the same as the stool in the street? So they said, this is very bad language. You cannot say this. So Prabhupada said, my disciples are young and, you know, sometimes they don't know what they're saying. So then all the Mayavadis, they left. And Prabhupada said, what was that example? He said, Rasgullas and stool on the street. Prabhupada said, very good example. Very good example. So I think Guru Das at that time, he was also debating with some Mayavadis there as well. And the man was wearing, because very cold in the Kumbh Mela, so he had a shawl over him. And he said, everything is one. He said, yes, everything is one. So Guru Das took the shawl and he pulled one thread from it and he placed it on him. He said, if everything is one, this thread is the same as this shawl. I will take the shawl, you keep the thread. And thirdly, Prabhupada said, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati do? He did much to unify the various Vaishnava sects by stressing on agreement shared by the four sampradayas. This was something amazingly that he put together. And specifically, Bhaktisiddhanta wrote about the lives of Madhva and Ramanuja, and he published those books as well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took two items from all the four sampradayas and he placed them into our sampradaya. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he unified all the four sampradayas. That's why whenever you go to... okay, that is fire alarm. We should check. Someone can just go and check. If that is a real fire alarm, we will walk out. One way to end class quickly. So I'll continue until they figure it out, otherwise we'll walk out in a minute. So he specifically, he took two items from every all the sampradayas, and specifically what he did in all his temples, if you notice, the four acharyas of the four sampradayas, they are there. They're all there in the temples. He's checking, okay. And if you go to Chaitanya Math, if you go to Puri, if you go to any of the Gauri Maths, you'll find the four Vaishnava Acharyas are there. Madhva, Ramanuja, Nimbarka. They're all placed on the altar. And so what he did was he unified. That was a great contribution Bhaktisiddhanta made. And specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, this is, okay, he's gonna, okay, we'll wait until he tells us. They're running to tell us. So we'll... So from Ramanuja, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took two items. And of course, Ramanuja, he appears in Chaitanya Leela as Ananta, someone who lived next to Vallabhacharya's house. And he took two points from his teachings: Ananya Bhakti, which is the concept of unalloyed devotional service free from karma and jnana, and he took bhakta jana seva, service to the Vaishnavas. These two points Bhaktisiddhanta very much emphasized on, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took these points. And from Madhva, of course, anyone know who does he appear as in Chaitanya Leela? It's two bodies in one. It's Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta is the same as Madhva. It's Hanuman, Vayu, same. All of these things. So from Madhva he took two points. Keval Advaita Nirashana, which is the principle of complete defeat of Mayavad philosophy. And Krishnamurti Sevaya, the worship of the deity of Krishna and understanding it to be eternal. From Vishnu Swami. Who's Vishnu Swami appear in Chaitanya Leela as? He appears as Vallabha Bhatta. Two souls in one again, I think. Sukadeva Goswami is also Vallabha Bhatta. So. And he took two items from Vishnu Swami. Tadiya Sarvashva Bhava, which means the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna, and Ragamag, spontaneous devotional service. And from Nimbaka appears as Keshava Kashmiri is Nimbaka. And he took from him Ekanta Radhika Ashraya, which means the necessity of taking exclusive shelter of Radharani and Gopi Bhav, the mood and sentiment of the gopis. These are items that Mahaprabhu had taken, and Bhaktisiddhanta, he very much unified the four sampradayas in dialogues with them, philosophical concepts as well. Bhaktisiddhanta, outside of India, he established centers in Rangoon, a small center here in London, in Willesden Green, and of course something in Germany. So no acharya had done that before. No one had done that before, because he had 108 centers throughout India, but he hadn't done anything outside. So these were three things that he did. And of course he established the principle of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva as the universal principle. Rupa Vilas writes this interestingly. He says, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an innovator in many ways. Although sannyasis traditionally never used any conveyances with the exception of ox carts. Imagine going out on Sankirtan on an ox cart. We only get as far as Radlet by the end of the day or something, you know. So that's all they had to ride on. He rode in motor cars, motorized boats, not allowed, all of these things. Although sannyasis never wore sewn cloth, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his preachers on occasions wore overcoats, kurtas. He utilized the radio for broadcasting his message and sent sannyasis over the sea. All of these things were considered a revolution. All of these innovations were strictly in the mood of spreading the glories of the Lord and engaging people in Krishna consciousness. And specifically, adopting Rupa Goswami's Yukta Vairaga, engaging the illusionary energy fully in the service of Krishna. So these are things that acharyas very much could do, and he, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he very much did. And once, even when he was in Dhaka, and they were opening a center, Dhaka, of course, very prominent with others, so there were a great prominence of caste, brahmanas and sahajas were there, and the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta wrote that no one is opening their doors, we are knocking on the doors, we are not getting any alms, and no one is coming. What shall we do? Isn't it a little bit like when we go out on the streets with a marathon coming up? We're getting there now. A little bit like that, isn't it? We're knocking on doors, trying to approach, but no one is doing anything. So they wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what shall we do? So he said, if necessary, you should all subsist of Ganga water alone. Because they had no arms, they had no money to buy anything. No one was giving anything. So he said, you should subsist on Ganga water alone. But do not give up distributing Lord Chaitanya's message. Very tall order. You have to be quite advanced to accept these principles. But you know, it's very similar to our devotees who are going out to give Krishna consciousness to so many places that, you know, doesn't matter what the obstacles, but don't give up distributing Lord Chaitanya's message. When Prabhupada, and in the end, of course, the Dhaka center succeeded tremendously. They opened a huge center. Bhaktisiddhanta came and installed it. So his instructions were taken very seriously. And when Prabhupada was asked about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, what can I say about my spiritual master? He was a Vaikuntha man. He was a Vaikuntha man, that's all. So, someone who wasn't of this world, and he left him on that principle. Satsuru Maharaj, he wrote that the work of the Acharyas is based very much on three principles. And he said that he had noticed the same thing in his own life. That he had noticed these three things. And you know, it's like the same with all of us, I think, that when you join the society, there is something called idealism. And Satsuru Maharaj says that when I joined the idealism, the utopia was devotees chanting, traveling, preaching, and we will conquer the world. And I think when we all join, we think like that. That's the idealism, that we want to do that, you know. We want to chant, we want to preach, and everyone has to be... we're born again Hare Krishnas, you know. We want to give it to everyone. So that's the utopia, the ideal. So he said this is idealism. And this is given by the Acharya, as he said. But he said the next phase is called realism. And Satsuru Maharaj says the reality was that after Prabhupada left, there were hurricanes. And he says very much, and it's a scriptural quote, that when an Acharya comes, he brings order into the disorder. But when he leaves, temporarily there is disorder in that order. So he said that was also there, the reality, realism. But he said finally, the third phase is maturity. And maturity, he said, means to know that all things of this world are bound to change. The nature of this world is that things will change. Buildings will change. Ashrams will change. People will change. And hence Prabhupada, all the Acharyas, always speak about giving Krishna consciousness according to time, place and circumstance. You know, who would have thought that we're all giving our books out, but really, on Amazon, the largest number of book sales are e-books. Everyone has got the Kindle out. So time, place and circumstance, maturity. And the BBT catching up with that, they said they were a bit slow, now they've caught up, they've got e-books for the Kindle. So an Acharya does this, Satsuru Maharaj says, maturity. Through his maturity, he sees what's needed very much. And Prabhupada said, some things will not change.
Although the principle is saying some things will not change. Ishvara Parama Krishna, God, Krishna will always remain God through our ups and downs. The process to achieve Him, devotional service, that's not going to change. Prabhupada's books as the means for delivering people, that will not change. The holy name, that will not change. So if we take shelter of those things that are not changing, even when the hurricanes do come, will not be uprooted. And that's called maturity. Maturity in Krishna consciousness that we want to always put together. But you know, and ending on a note, time is up. We may understand all of these principles that's been spoken of in the purport and so on and so forth. But we sometimes tend to think, how is it that we're taking the medicine but it's not working? Eneche ashodhi maya nasi baro lagi. Mahaprabhu speaks of this. Hari nama maha mantra. Lao tumi magi. But you know, medicines take time to work. Medicines take time to work. And we have to be patient and not give up hope. Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he speaks about the concept called Ashanubandhan. Hope against hope. Krishna, I'm useless. I have no taste, so many difficulties, but I will not give up hope. Ashanubandhan, hope against hope, which is there. So Indrajumna Swami, when he was at the airport and he was Prabhupada's servant, he speaks of this, that he was carrying everything of Prabhupada, and when they were checking in, you know how life is, you don't pack the bags properly. And the bags opened and everything fell out. And everything was on the floor. And Prabhupada looked at him and he thought, oh my God, I've had it now. And he was struggling to put everything back. And Prabhupada said, there is so much struggle in this material world. But when I take you back home, back to Godhead, everything will be sublime. And Indrajumna Swami thought, and that is our hope. Ashanubandhan, hoping against hope. Although all difficulties, there is hope. So we tolerate and we continue and we will get there, as he finally puts it in his purport when he was Prabhupada's servant. This is the time of the year when we now begin to think about giving Krishna to others a bit more as well. Although we should be thinking about it all year. You know, whoever we meet, whenever we meet them, however we meet them, we should be thinking, how can I introduce something of Krishna to that person. And it's that bhav that we have, that anxiety or thought that let me try and do it, that will translate in due course into that person receiving something. So everything begins with ichha, desire. So when we have the desire, something will happen. So unfortunately, just like the month of Kartik is a month when people try to increase in their devotion. Because if Kartik was all year long, none of us would come and offer a candle. There's an incentive needed for everyone. So Krishna realized that we also have a fruitive nature to our side. It's Kartik, you get a lot more benefit, let's go and offer, you can purchase Krishna with, oh, I better get there. And you know, all of these aspects are there, 1,000 times more, 10,000. We think it's all there, so let me go. So Krishna, knowing our nature, he's sort of added these incentives. The sale, as Prabhupada called it. Prabhupada Girat Swami asked, what is Kartik all about? And Prabhupada said, it's like the sale. And he said, what is the purpose of the sale? To attract new customers and to inspire old customers. So it's like that, isn't it? New people will come for Kartik, And the old ones will think, I better go for Mangalarti. So similarly, at the end of the year, we also have our book distribution marathon. And we've been speaking about that very much, that some things will not change. That's Prabhupada's books are there. And that knowledge can be distributed very nicely in this month. And all of you can participate. All of us here can participate in the marathon. You may have your own friends and different things that you do, but the Sankirtan team here, and you've seen the poster next door. I know we're all busy doing so many things, but we can all participate in this. Last year, in 2011, we distributed 35,843 books. Amazing, huh? So that's a lot of people who received our books. No, from here. Yeah, from the manor, yeah. Worldwide, it thinks in millions, I should think. But that's just from the manor. So 2012, what do you think should be our target? One more. Okay, Govinda's going to give out one more book, I think. Do I add one more? Means 135? Okay, he wants the one added at the front. So the team at the manor, Sutapa, and the team who oversee the Sankirtan, they want a target of 40,000 books. It's 5,000 more. I think it's doable. Very much doable. And the ways you can get involved, and last year, I think we had 273 devotees that were distributing books. And I know Madan Mohan here, he had a big team in East London, the Bhakti Vriksha team giving out books as well. And I think he held two Gita Jayantis as well. So a lot of books were distributed from there. So 273, how many devotees should we have this year? Three hundred? Okay, the boys are a bit more ambitious than that. They're saying 351. So we'll have to find 51 more people now, I think, to go out. And how can you get involved? They have the following. If you've only got Saturdays left, and there is four Saturdays in December, weekend warriors, you can go out on Saturdays with a team of devotees from the manor. There's a contact number, Krishna Kirtan. So you can just go out on a Saturday with them. They have a book table. They have chanting, so you can just stand by the book table, or you can take part in the chanting so more people will come to the book table. So that's there. There's also door to door. We spoke of that, didn't we? Door to door. And going out in the evenings, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. Knocking on doors. And Ravindra is in charge. There's Ravindra and Ravindra. I've got to get that right now. Congratulate Rabindra for getting initiated there. Haribol. From Sankarshan Prabhu. So he's in charge of the door-to-door. So you can see him. So you don't have to come out with them. I think you can just take books and you can go on your own, really. Or you can go with them if you don't think you've got the courage or whatever it needs. You can go with them. So they'll send you with someone else, knocking on door-to-door. Door-to-door is an amazing thing, I think. I forget the devotee. There was a devotee who was knocking on doors and he knocked on the halls of residences. And one person, he opened the door. And he got a book. And it was perfect questions, perfect answers. So he read the book, this devotee. He was doing a degree in architecture. So it was his last year. But when he just finished his exams, actually. So when he read the book, the next day he walked all the way from London and he came out to the manor in 74. Just from that devotee knocking on that door. And we were very happy that this devotee got the book because it was none other than Akhandari Das. Got that book knocking on the doors. Otherwise we wouldn't have had anyone saving the manor here or being the president for 13 years or whatever he did, you know. So amazing, he knocked on the door. Never met the devotees before, whatever. He saw the book and he came. Street distribution, of course. In our bustling towns, Gurudas and Jagat Priya, they're taking charge of that. If you want to do one day or any day, you want to go out with them on the streets, that's there. We also have Gita Jayanti, of course. You can get people to sponsor books, friends, relatives. And these books are placed in schools, universities, hospitals. And Saurabh is in charge of that. You can speak to him on that. And we have what's known as the marathon pack here. And it contains 7 books, this pack. Of course, the Gita, Chant and Be Happies. So there's a whole lot of them there. And 1 Veda book. These are little books you can take away. These are the Christmas presents. And the idea is you can give out these packs and they are £10. £10. So you can take 5 packs with you, 10 packs, and you can give it to friends, relatives, and just say, give me £10. And they can either keep the books, because there's a whole bunch of Chant and Be Happy, so they can give it to their friends, people at work. So, you know, you say, okay, I'll take 10 packs, and I'll find 10 people that will use these books. So that's £10. That's something you can, in Swayam Jyoti, he has the table ready next door. Next door, I think he's next door. So we hope that some of you here today will take at least 10 boxes each. Or at least take 1 with you today, if not 5. And keep them with you. And you just have to find people that you think, and you never know, isn't it? If the books are there in your car or in your office, somebody comes up, you think, that man could do with this box. Happy Christmas. What is this? I don't know. You find out. So it's a good way to do it. So if you keep some boxes with you, Krishna will arrange, the right person will arrive to collect them from you. And, you know, as he's leaving, you say, by the way, can you leave a little donation, you know, to cover the cost of the books. Up to you how you do it. You can give it as presents. It's your contribution for the marathon. So, as we say, and as Prabhupada said very much, even 1 word, what to speak of 1 line, what to speak of 1 book, is enough to raise the consciousness of an individual who gets Prabhupada's books. So it's the month of December. I hope everyone will participate. As we read, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, how much they did just so that all of us could be sitting here today in front of deities, hearing class, having breakfast. So maybe now, as we say, Mahaprabhu had given these 3 things, Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva, and Jivadaya. Jivadaya means that we've received something amazing, we should be kind and give it to others in whatever capacity we can. So I think the disciplic succession would be immensely overjoyed. As Prabhupada, on a final note, when he was asked, and I think Prajumna was reading the book to him, his own books, and he said, do you know why I like reading my own books? Because they were reading, you know, what does it mean? You know, you like reading your own books. What's happened to you? And we lost the plot. And Prabhupada said, do you know why I like reading these books? Because he was reading them out to him. He said, because I didn't write them. He said, Krishna personally came and he dictated every word for these books. So these are Krishna's words. So please help in participating with the marathon. And in this way, Ashanubandhan, hope against hope. Krishna consciousness will come despite all our anathas. Guru Premanandi, we have obviously, as already announced, the festival continues today, but because the fields are waterlogged, it's difficult to park everyone, and hence it's a safety hazard. So the fireworks has been cancelled, otherwise the festivities will continue with darshan, prasadam, and of course our marquee is there, which will have the premiere showing of Sita in the Ashoka Grove, and maybe they'll do it a few more times as well. Good Premanandi.